Good evening. Hi, this is Dr. Nancy Molina, and welcome to the Dr. Molina Show. I have a very special guest this evening, Linda Eastburn. Linda is a health intuitive, and our listening audience needs to be aware that some people are just born with gifts of various psychic abilities, and these gifts can include the ability to make intuitive assessments of physical or even psychological problems. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be on the show.
Well, Linda, I'm very excited about this evening because you actually have a variety of background. And one of the things we're going to talk about this evening is one of your books, which is Riding the Intuitive Wave, which basically seems to be just learning to listen to what the body already knows.
Exactly.
And I'm excited because in complementary alternative medicine, traditionally what we will look at is particularly if you want to use the National Institute of Health classification of mind-body medicine, we will look at the body's ability to heal by eliminating any blockage. And my understanding is that's basically what you do. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what a health intuitive is?
Well, I'm a health intuitive, and I want to preface that with not being a health intuitive until I turned 40. So I've only been a health intuitive for the last 12 years.
Oh.
What I do professionally is to go into an intuitive state of mind, which is something I also teach others how to do. I view someone's physical body. I don't really diagnose anything or treat anything, but what I do is I intuitively scan their system. Any issues that I see in the body, I will describe what issues I perceive there. And then this is really a holistic approach, so I will also look at their emotions that are traveling into that area of the body, maybe contributing to whatever issue is appearing there. And then we will also look at the thought patterns as well as their inner spiritual desires and needs, and basically just an assessment of the whole body, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and help them to get back on track to hopefully have a more balanced life, to have, if they have some physical issue, we hope that the natural process of balancing in their body through understanding more of what they need to do in their life, whether that be some lifestyle change or whether it be some emotional releasement that needs to occur or whether it be simply changing the diet and getting more rest. All of those things may pop up in a health intuitive session. The session is
before we move into the session, let's make certain we emphasize some clarity. So a medical intuitive or intuition, and you're going to move into the evaluation. My understanding is it's invaluable information. You're going to look at the issues of the physical body, but it's also going to identify mental and emotional factors that can act as a direct contributor to health issues. Is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. We also wanted to clarify that the actual term would be, I prefer to use intuitive assessment. We don't, of course, use the term of diagnosis. It's incorrect. The intuitive assessment seems to be more accurate term for the gift that you have, because the impressions that are given by intuitives may not have the same descriptive term that's developed by modern medicine. So it would be very hard for you to approximate a medical diagnosis. And, of course, we don't even contribute to that. There's certain protocols to it. A clinical hunch is well known to doctors and nurses and other healthcare providers, you know, an uneasy feeling about a patient or something about a vague laboratory evaluation, and you keep persevering until a diagnosis is uncovered. But in your field, it is an intuitive assessment as to explore your gifts in mind-body medicine. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, and it's really far more spiritual in nature than just a physical thing. Now, granted, when I have someone contact me for a session, it's usually some physical health issue that they're looking for some healing for, or they're looking for something to help them to become whole again or become well. So generally it is the actual, you know, the diabetes, it will be the cancer in the body, it will be the stroke or the heart attack or some other pain that they are unable to get rid of that will bring them to me. But in the end, what I hope to give back to them is really a whole view of themselves and to understand that the dreams inside of themselves, the potential that they have might be contributing. It might have to do with just an old pattern of thinking that they've worn out maybe years ago, but they're still utilizing this pattern of thinking. Or it may be some emotional blockage or a trauma that may have occurred even when they were young.
So you're
that could
clearing
be contributing.
The blockage.
Yes.
You're attempting to facilitate clearing. I guess the patient, the person, clears it, but you're facilitating.
I'm facilitating an awareness of that now, and I also offer some energy work, some balancing work to help them to begin to make some changes. But once they begin to make some of these changes on about the whole self, oftentimes they'll find that the pains may go away, that the fears go away. They may call me with an extreme, intense fear that they have something horribly wrong with them. And, of course, they have to be diagnosed by a medical doctor to know that for sure. But as I look at it, sometimes it just eases their mind, and I always encourage them to have that backed up by real live tests, of course. But many times they'll find that their fears are unjustified, and it's not as bad as they think it might be. They've just overblown some of the ideas in their mind.
Very, very interesting. You know, I always prepare when I host these shows. And I want you to know that I did a literature research, and basically it's a retrospective research. I went back through to intuitive diagnosis, spiritual healing researches, and there is some impressive confirmed evidence and controlled studies of healing that seem to have been published in some very strong evidence peer review or medical journals. So the evidence that, you know, I'm looking up is Ben Noor, and it's B-E-N-O-R. And, of course, we're not going to get into great detail of the research and whatnot. I just wanted to tell the listening audience that, you know, in the United Kingdom, the healing is integrated successfully with conventional medicine. So we will have you termed as a biodiagnostician. There's that term, diagnostician. I know you don't like to use it, mm-hmm. with a conventional medical practitioner working together. And so it is not as uncommon as one would have thought. Before I reviewed the literature review, there's a growing number of doctors that will refer patients to healers.
Exactly. I have various physicians that will refer patients to me, or they will call to get some form of an assessment or see what I can perceive. It's also very interesting to see in the West how that sometimes comes about. Oftentimes it will be a loved one of a physician that will utilize whatever means they can for their child, for a spouse, for a parent. Mm-hmm. When they understand the limitations of the medical community or they don't know what to do for their child, they're looking for whatever, and that takes them into, due to compassion and love, it takes them into alternative realms sometimes. And I've often met physicians under those circumstances, but once they see the value of what is done, then they maintain contact and will often utilize my services thereafter.
Wonderful. We're talking with Linda Eastburn. Linda has a new book out called Riding the Intuitive Wave. And listeners, you can call in, and if you're in the United States, at 877-876-5227. We have a new a toll-free number, Canada now, 888-810-8322. We welcome your questions this evening. This is Dr. Nancy Molina on Complementary Alternative Medicine. Linda, we were talking a little bit about, before we go into the evaluation, we were talking a little bit about mind-body medicine. Is this where you would classify it, like our National Institute of Health does, the intuitive healing? Where does that get classified for you?
I think this is very much related with mind-body medicine, because I don't think we can separate the way we think from the way we feel, from the way our body then responds. It's a very natural process. We try to segment things, and our of course, Western medicine, not to in any way degrade or in any way dishonor of them, because they do miraculous things. They truly do. But to understand that the whole person.
I think we're having a call coming in, Linda.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Caller.
Yeah. Hi. This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Can you speak a little louder?
Yes, I can. Is
hi,
that better?
Nancy. Welcome. Do you have a question for Linda or myself?
Yeah, I want to know, can you do medical intuitive readings over the phone?
Most of my sessions are done by phone. I live in the Midwest in Springfield, Missouri, and most of my sessions are done on the East Coast or West Coast. Most of my clients are there, but I do them all over the world.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Is this called a remote healing or remote channeling? What is it? And there must be a term for it, Linda.
Well, I don't call it channeling or healing, but what I do call it is simply an assessment. It's an evaluation of a holistic part of yourself to help you better understand not only your physical being, but also to help you understand your whole being and what you might be able to do to change that, to help you get back on track, to be a more whole person, but also to be a happier person, because we all know that when we are feeling well, we are happier, but also when we are just naturally on track and feel like our life is meaningful, is worth something, and our thoughts are positive, our feelings are positive, we just naturally physically feel better.
Caller, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have another question?
No, that was it.
Well, thank you so much for your call, and keep listening.
Thank you.
Linda, you mentioned earlier about spirituality or spiritual, and are we talking about with the intuitive healing, or with being an intuitive? We'll just shorten the term then. Are we looking at Edgar Cayce type spiritual healing, therapeutic touch, faith healing, mental healing?
My sessions are very much like the Edgar Cayce method.
Well, we have another caller.
Yes,
welcome,
yes.
Caller.
Hello.
Hi, identify yourself.
My name is Christy, and I'm calling in. I thought I'd, for an intuitive healing lookout thing for me.
Okay, well, thank you, Christy. Linda, I think we're going to have a question directed your way by Christy. Christy, go ahead and ask Linda your question.
I have gum disease, and I can't kick it. I'm a very good brusher. I do everything that I need to do, flossing and whatnot. But I just can't seem to get it under control.
Well, I'm not doing sessions particularly here on the phone tonight, but I can say that if I were to do a session for that, what I would do, Christy, is connect with your energy through your name. I would go into a mild altered state, which is simply slowing down my brain waves, be able to intuitively perceive the information from a very centered and very directed part of myself. We would look at the issue you're asking about. I would describe what I physically see there, and then I would begin to help you understand what might possibly help that, as to, you know, any type of food, vitamins, or minerals. Try not to give any information that could in any way harm you. Then we would begin to look at, you know, any emotional issues that might be contributing, or any thought patterns or lifestyle changes. But most of all, when we're looking at any kind of an infection on the gums, we know that there is something that is lowered in the immune system, most likely, or the infection wouldn't be occurring. So we might also take a look at the immunity of the body. Since its placement is in the gum area especially, we would look at the issues that travel into that physical area of the body. Some of the books I would recommend for you, if you'd like to do some research, is Louise Hay's book on You Can Heal Your Life. And
say that again,
the other
please.
Book would be Permanent Healing. Both of those are real good advice books. Or just call me for a session and we can take a real deep look at it, and you can have a full assessment of your well-being.
What were those books again? I couldn't hear you when you gave the
name. I'm sorry. Louise Hay. You Can Heal Your Life.
Okay.
And Dr. Daniel Condren, and that book is entitled Permanent Healing.
Okay.
And Christy, we thank you for your call. What we'll do is we'll give you information toward the close of the radio broadcast this evening on how you can reach Linda directly or through her website. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Linda, we were you're talking just a little bit about we were going into the spiritual content of it with Edgar Cayce and how intuitive relates to that.
Well, you know, I call it intuitive. I know he probably called it a psychic ability. Intuition is simply a term that doesn't have a lot of the taboo gypsy crystal ball reading stigma attached to it. So I use the word intuitive because everyone has had that hunch in their, that gut feeling, that hunch, that kind of moment of knowing. And it's a gentler term, and it's one that I think the public is more easily digest, shall we say. And that's the reason I call it intuition or intuitive.
Okay, thank you. That's a very good detailed explanation. When we're dealing with concepts such as energy medicine, I'd asked you before, Western conventional medicine, National Institute of Health, we're categorizing into mind-body medicine. I think Deepak Chopra did that to us. But nevertheless, would you also, I see that as I've completed my research on this, this also falls into energy medicine, if you will.
Absolutely. Okay. But every thought is energy, and I talk about that a great deal in my book, about how every thought you have actually produces a type of wave or a type of energy that goes out into the consciousness, a kind of a collective consciousness or the unconsciousness of the world, and plays a role in that. My book goes into a great deal of detail about that, not only in dealing with our health and our own physical energy, but just dealing with how we are interconnected and how intuition works overall.
And I basically would testify in what I've discovered that, you know, people like Albert Einstein, other physicists, you know, they did propose that matter is described in terms of particles or energy. So I imagine then that quantum physics, and we're not going to get into that, but quantum physics would possibly, in the theories of quantum physics, would suggest that reports that healers may be theoretically supportable on just the principle of quantum physics because of how it relates to matter and the consciousness of living organisms.
I do believe that science is getting there. I think quantum physics is one area. The string theory is another idea. The issue, because I do work with several physicists in helping them to do the research on finding answers to this, because there is obviously some form of subtle energy out there that we do not yet have the technical ability. We do not have the hardware, basically, to measure. But yet we do have the ability to measure the effects that thought and prayer and energy work has on the body. For instance, when someone is telepathically sending a message to another person, even without that person being aware of when or who or how or why, their immune system may show some response. Their blood may show some response. Blood pressure may change. At that very moment, their brain waves will change. So everyone who has a telepathic message sent to them, there is a response in the physical body. We know that's measurable. We do not understand or are not yet able to measure that thought energy or that subtle energy that is being projected, or healing energy, as you might call it.
So we're not looking as in the energy medicine concepts that we have in medical systems, various cultures, you know, the Chinese acupuncture, the Qigong, the different energy medicine, how it offers a variety and approaches to treating illness that obviously extends beyond the limits of conventional medicine. We have a lot of documented recent research on this. I think that the claims for the intuitive assessments or abilities also deserve equal exploration as well. You had mentioned to me, and I read in your book, that you yourself had actually gone through some types of series of testing with, what was it, neurologists or EEGs or things of this nature? Can you tell us a little bit about
actually,
that?
Yes, I did. In the beginning of my journey, there again, I'm fully trained as an intuitive, and through my distant learning school, I train other people to be intuitives as well. I work a lot with the medical community in helping people be more perceptive in their profession, whether it be alternative or traditional. But in the beginning, when I was just learning to do this, I developed the ability to go into a good deep meditative state as well as a good deep hypnotic state. I recognized the shifts in my body as I arrived at a place that now I call an intuitive place in my mind, where I'm able to receive a signal or this energy or this piece of information intuitively. I synchronistically was introduced to a research organization that did EEGs, and they were able to prove through an EEG that I was in the state that I believed I was in, which showed that the very, very slow delta brainwave state is actually where the signal comes in intuitively. Now, it comes in my belief, into the autonomic system of the body. That is why we see physical changes in the body when someone is telepathically sending a message to someone else. Because through the autonomic system of the body, it's going to change things like blood pressure
and
or
enzymes.
That's
measurable. That's measurable.
Yes,
then,
right? It's very measurable.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Now, this is so actually you're inducing a meditative state. You're not actually, because I know you're a hypnotherapist, you're
yes.
not actually hypnotizing yourself.
Well, eventually it's difficult to separate meditation and hypnosis
Thank
and
you.
Intuition.
Thank you.
it's very,
How many
it's
layers
very difficult.
Are you right?
at this point, I'm able to travel through those four brainwave states or keep them all open and communicating at the same time.
Right, and
so,
it's been verified
yes.
with you. It's been verified.
Yes,
now,
it
has. When we're looking at colors or energy fields, auras, do you – I want to talk about – And again, I'm not an intuitive, but I want to talk about there's supposedly three areas with an intuitive, one of which could be the physical sense, one could be the a touch sense, one is energy fields. Do you perceive auras or energy fields when you're actually sitting with a client or a patient? Or particular areas of focus, chakras, what? Tell me a little bit about the evaluation.
Well, I can do that, but that's really not the process that I do. When I'm in my waking conscious state, when I'm not in an intuitive session, in other words, I'm very much into myself and my own life. And I sort of try to stay out of other people's energy fields because I respect that they have an individual life that is really none of my business unless they want to approach me for a session or unless it's a loved one and we have a reason to have that kind of openness. Yes, I can see it if I ask myself to look at that, but I do respect privacy of individuals' energies and thoughts and feelings, so I'm not going around perceiving all of those things all of the time.
Okay, all right. Tell me a little bit about then, with the intuition, as we're looking at this highly developed sense of intuition, how you look into the body, you know, evaluating it on energetic levels, and you're looking at the body or the human body as more than just a physical body. You're trying to interconnect energies and energetic fields with perhaps
yes.
diseases appearing.
What seems to happen is that we can't really separate that motivating, spiritual, surviving part of ourselves, that part of ourselves that believes we have a purpose and intent for being here from the physical body, nor those channels in between, how we're emotionally reacting and how we are thinking. We try to segment those, and we are so conditioned to believe that those are separate segments of our life that do not interact. I think it was Candace Pert who wrote the book Molecules of Emotions that first discovered that an emotion is really a thought transferring into a chemical in the physical body is why we can physically feel our emotions. Mm-hmm. So we can't really separate how we think, how we feel, and then what the condition of the physical system really is. We can't separate those, but we try really hard to because we've been conditioned that they don't relate to one another. Now you can understand this by simply going through a really long stressful day and perhaps your shoulders get really tight and you begin to feel overwhelmed or feel as if you're overtaxed and the body starts responding to that. That's a stress response from your thoughts and the way that you're feeling about some of the overload that you might have in your life. We understand little things like that. The thing that we do not understand is that every thought and every emotion does influence the physical body in some way, thus leaving us at times susceptible to disorders in the body if there's something that's repetitious or somewhat traumatic.
You're listening to the Dr. Molina Show, and the title of our broadcast this evening is Riding the Intuitive Wave. We have special guest Linda Eastburn. Linda is a certified hypnotherapist and intuitive, and Linda's also the founder of the International Academy of Intuitive Arts. Linda, tell me a little bit about the Academy.
Well, the Academy is it's international. I have students all over the world. I have professional training courses as well as non-professional training courses. The student studies partially alone, and partially they interact with the school with assignments. I have a course that teaches you how to do the same type of work that we're talking about tonight. I'm a health intuitive, and I have a professional training course. I largely work with the medical community, but I also work with people who just want to learn this. I have this also on a non-professional basis that just teaches you how to be your own health intuitive. And if you don't even want to go into the health field, then I also have courses that just teach you how to open up your intuition.
Do you do anything for corporate businesses? I know this is real big in business, working as a facilitator and enhancing your intuitive or your hunch skills, so to speak.
On a small scale basis, I work individually with owners of companies, whether it be a clinic or a dental, a lab, or some office. I do work individually with people. I have not, as of yet, I'm open to doing that, but I have not as of yet worked on a large scale with the corporate environment.
Okay. You can call in with a question for Linda. If you're in the United States, it's 877-876-5227, or a new number for Canada, 888-810-8322. Linda, how would the listening audience get a hold of you?
Well, you can always reach me by phone. Primarily, that is the way to reach me. Yeah, my number is 417-863-1377. Or you may also contact me through my website, which is intuitiveacademy.com.
Well, thank you for that. Now, we're talking a little bit about energy healing, auras, energy channels, chakras, and how it relates to simply establishing clarity, balance, and wellness in the physical body, the mind and spirit. And you enhance basically the quality of life, and I know that that will facilitate spiritual growth. How do you know when you've done it?
Well, there's going to be a change in your life. You're going to be seeing things, perhaps perhaps optimism, perhaps hope will come in, or perhaps an ache or a pain or a disorder simply goes away. And you're going to know because there will be change in your life. But the beginning part of this, which is really the initiation of the session itself, is that you begin to care about yourself enough to make those changes, and you begin to care enough to have an honest look at some of the things that are prohibiting perhaps healing from occurring, or at least from balancing in your body and having hopefully a happy, productive life. And also I believe that our diseases, our disorders are sometimes serving us in some capacity, because there isn't anything that happens to us that isn't for purpose and reason. But once we begin to understand why, then we can let go of that and go back to having a happy, healthy, wonderful life again, hopefully.
Well, we're going to reiterate just a little bit, and then we're going to get into, because I'm excited to get into this, I want to hear about the sessions, the evaluation. Before we do that, and again, at this point, we're simply focusing on intuitive healing. I know we'll just call you an intuitive and leave the healing off, but my understanding is that the evaluation itself will provide invaluable information to the physical body. It'll identify mental, emotional factors that might be a direct contributor to health diseases or health issues. You can potentially identify dysfunctional states. An intuitive does not diagnose disease. Instead of labeling a disorder, you'll identify the location, perhaps evaluate the health of a gland or organ, or a strong emotion that's impacting that person's health. And you, a health intuitive, will identify imbalances within the body. Obviously,
yes.
Before it manifests as a disease, which is hopefully what we're looking at here. Yes. So I'd like to hear a little bit about a session, an evaluation.
Okay. Well, sessions can take many, many tones. It just depends on the client that I'm working for at the time. There was a session that I did fairly recently for a physician. She was traditional, but she also was involved in some alternative ways of healing. So she was very open to having an intuitive session. She called, and I'd never met this person before. She was many states away from me. She had cancer. And she recognized, as a physician, of course, she recognized that she was going to need some major intervention here in order for this cancer to go away. Not knowing anything about this woman's life, I looked at the cancer itself and immediately went into the emotional state of that. What I identified was at 9 years of age, this woman had put a barrier between her and the world around her. The world had seemed very frightening and very scary, and there was some very traumatic issue that had happened at that point in time in her life, and she had protected herself highly by kind of shutting down her emotions and not allowing herself to interact very intimately with the rest of the world on an emotional level. After the session, what I found out about this woman, who is now in her 50s, is that she moved to the United States with her parents at 9 years of age. She was from a foreign country, did not speak the language, did not understand the culture here, was thrust into a school environment without the skills to really handle this alone. She indeed did put up a barrier, an emotional wall around her at that particular time, which was probably valuable for her at that time to protect her and to help her get through that. It was a coping skill. But certainly at the age of 50, she no longer needed that. And her body had lived with this habitual way of interacting emotionally with the world. I did not enable her to have the level of intimacy that a grown woman naturally wants and needs. So that's the type of information that can come through. Now, also in that same session, what we found were ways that she could begin to work now at 50 years of age to heal some of that emotional state and to give her body the most balance and possibly the best opportunity for that cancer to go away.
Now, Linda, when you're evaluating someone in this particular case, is there a certain amount of clairvoyance? Do you see this in your mind's eye?
We can call it all kinds of things, but really I group all of those words and all of, you know, telepathy, clairvoyance, all of those things into one thing. To me, there is just an intuitive state that I go to, and much like Edgar Cayce, the words flow, the perception is clear. It's the same way that you might go into a room and you might say, I'm seeing this, I'm hearing this, I'm smelling this, or whatever. Your five senses are separate. But when you have an experience with a room, what you have is a total awareness of that room, and that's really more like what I experience.
So you're seeing and you're feeling.
Yes.
And you're hearing.
I'm hearing, I'm seeing, I'm feeling, I have just perception and knowing. It's just a complete experience. Actually, there's very little difference between myself and that individual at that moment. That also has been shown through brainwave measurements, that one person can match the brainwave state of another person, creating resonance between the two of you, and there's really very little difference between the two. At that point, you should be able to know and experience everything within that person's conscious, subconscious mind, and spiritual self as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the typical type of it sounds like there's no type really that would come to you for as an intuitive. It's not an average, you know, female. Typically, higher percentage is female, 40 years of age. You know, what's the typical individual that will come to see you? Is there one?
Well, yes, there are. I would say female primarily, maybe around 30-70% female. The males that I have are usually involved in some type of metaphysical realm already, or it is the spouse of a woman who has decided that this is what he needs. So oftentimes I will have the reluctant male, but occasionally I will have men who come. I tend to be a very practical reader, so I do open doors for a lot of people who might not want or trust this information from someone else. I tend to be a very practical, very grounded, very balanced person. I live in the real world. I was in business for years. I understand real life situations, and I can empathize highly with almost anyone's situation. So I tend to get a lot of people who feel like I'm well grounded and also want something that's very practical, and they can go home with something that they can start making changes with. So it's not put in some realm that it's like, okay, now I know this, now what am I supposed to do? You know, I've worked with stroke victims that it's like, okay, now what's going to bring that person back to being more coherent? And I may see a physical exercise that they can do on a daily basis or do it 3 times a day. That's some real practical information to begin to heal that person.
When you're dealing with the majority of your clients, and as you stated with the physician who had suffered from the cancer, and I hate to give it the big word, the big C word, I'll just say suffered from the dysfunction. But in this particular instance, and in others, do you find that the one thing in common may be emotional triggers?
Oh, absolutely. You're never going to be able to remove an emotional state from any disorder, whether it be a headache, whether it be a stomach ache, or whether it be, you know, a hangnail. There's always going to be some emotion. It may be mild in nature. It may be somewhat irrelevant. But there will always be some emotion attached to whatever state the body is in.
And I think science is now starting to recognize the impact of emotions on health. It obviously goes, the implications of it go much deeper than just raising your blood pressure, because it does create dysfunction in the system. It does affect the neuroendocrine immune system, and you mentioned it earlier. It had a big impact on the immune system.
Yes.
So you are actually providing an in-depth insight into the emotion. You're assisting on how that created that condition of disharmony in, I'll call it, the energetic system, and how it created this state of disease, or in chiropractic we would call it disease in the physical body, because we operate on tone, which is a form of energy frequencies.
Exactly.
So how long does a session, is there a typical time for a session?
Yes, my sessions are an hour long. I usually take the first half hour to 40 minutes to do what I call my intuitive scan, which we just simply look at the physical body. I'm in a mild altered state at that time. I stay in that state during that first half hour to 40 minutes. The last 20 minutes, I allow the client to simply ask any question about anything that they want. And my sessions are not geared strictly to just their physical health issues. They can ask anything about their life, because if Uncle Joe moved in with them a year ago and suddenly they started having problems physically after that, then Uncle Joe's presence in the home may be relevant, you see. So they can ask any question they want about any subject or anything in their life, because what we really want is for them to understand how to have a happier, healthier life. Or if this is not improving your life, then it's really not a value for them.
Right, right. I agree 100%. To attain health, that balance has to be achieved, not just with the physical body, but emotionally and in our thoughts as well. We're not quite certain where does the energy deviate from to create that disease or that unhealthful state. Let me ask you a question. We have, having spent years in emergency medicine as a paramedic, I recognize a burnout state. I see burnout states in medical colleagues. I see them with the psychologists that I work with, my surgeons. You know, there's a high rate of burnout in medicine. Would you work with providers in healthcare providers in assisting them to achieve a more harmonious state so that they're not drained by what they see, by their patients, by the diseases, by the inhumanity of so many things?
Certainly. What I find for most people, if they had the coping skills to deal with life, they would use them. If they do not have those, and burnout is generally because it has been a repetition of stress or stress overload on the system, and if they had the coping skills to allow that stress not to filter into their body and see the burnout that we see today in so many ways in life, so many areas of life, yes. And often the information that comes through, and certainly if we ask for coping skills, ask for ways that this individual can best handle situations of their life, whether it be through something of this nature, such as a paramedic that is on overload and stressed to the hilt, or whether it be the mother of four children who's pulling her hair out because she hasn't had an adult conversation for 6 months. Regardless of what the stress situation is, certainly I think we live in a very fast-paced society that expects a great deal from us, and we push ourselves to great limits.
Oh,
sometimes doing that
yes.
5-minute power nap is all we need to recuperate.
So really the coping skills are more than exercises and things of this nature. I think it's making a person recognize mind-body medicine, other avenues of healing, other concepts of disease and dysfunction aside from the traditional Western medicine that everyone is so accustomed to. I find with my patients, many that come in, used to be everyone that was coming in was completely aware of complementary alternative, was aware of energetic healing, and they knew what I did. I'm finding within the last several years, however, I'm getting newbies. I have the patients that are seeking care, looking for a complementary alternative. They're not turning away, because I never let them turn away if it's required, as you do. From traditional medicine, but we simply seek to work together in a more, keep the lines of communication open for the mutual benefit of the patient. And I think that's the main situation in allowing a person to heal and looking at all aspects of healing. It's not just the hospitalization, the surgery, or the concept of the pill. These days, I think people are becoming more in tune. We have to facilitate. I facilitate in a different way. I actually provide more informed consent by educating the patients to different avenues, as you can see with the broadcast, different avenues of healing, and let them make an informed decision on what mix they would like to use. This is the Dr. Melina Show. Please call in the United States at 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, call us toll-free at 888-810-8322. We're talking with Linda Eastburn, a intuitive and a hypnotherapist, who is with me this evening. Linda, tell me a little bit about finding spiritual meaning in your own life.
Well, certainly I've gone through my own healing crisis and worked through that through my own health intuitive method. One of the areas that I think is often ignored in this field is the preventive nature of the work. We can look at the genetics of the body, and we can look at the person and see what they're predisposed to have. And for myself, I know being able to look into my own future and to be able to see, okay, this is what I see as building, this is where I see I'm going, this is what I want to prevent today, is kind of the model that I live by. But I haven't always lived by that. At the time that I first began doing some of the intuitive work, I went through some difficult times around that time that I was making some major shifts in my life. I had some relationship issues and some communication issues that I really wasn't dealing with. And after a while, my body began to really, really show some deterioration. I eventually recognized that I really needed to make some major change. I was fatigued often. I had my muscles would barely carry my body. My nervous system had deteriorated. And what I began to do on a day-by-day basis was look at not only what I intuitively, physically needed, such as foods, vitamins, and minerals, and therapies, but I began asking my body and caring for myself again. And through this method of listening to myself and listening to what my body needed, and also changing my thought patterns, mm-hmm. recognizing what my spirit most wanted from me, which simply means to understand what motivated me, what gave meaning to my life, what gave me purpose again, to open up those avenues of communication externally with people I loved and with the world around me, to get back to work and to be able to have a productive, healthy life. I mean, I've lived this process. I understand that when we are in a state where the greater part of ourselves, and I'm going to call it the spirit part of ourselves, because it's that part of us that wants to live and survive and have meaningful relationships and meaningful work and a meaningful life that matters to ourselves and other people. When we can get in touch with that and we start really living our passion and we start really taking care of our body and listening to what it needs and not just wearing ourselves out with what we think is good for us, we begin to heal. And that's exactly what happened to me. I began to heal. But also today, a lot of my work involves seeing what that the potential is in the individual and to help them to see for themselves how they need to take care of themselves because they may be predisposed to arthritis or they may be predisposed to a heart condition. And the time to work with that is when you are healthy, not after you become ill.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I agree with you. Part of the practice, part of the main focus of the practice that we have is in identifying that. How many times will a patient come in with an elbow, with a knee, with a headache, with some physical manifestation? And as you look into their past medical history as a diagnostician, as you look into the past medical history and you're putting everything together, you find key factors in their life. You find periods of time when obesity was an issue, where they suffered the loss of a loved one, where they lost their job, where. So I think you're absolutely right. There is a tendency for us to think in the physical sense. But with me, you know, we are a product of chance. We're a roll of the dice, and we have to cultivate a very rich inner life. And I think we need to recognize our own beliefs and practices to create that life of abundance. Spirituality is foremost in practice as well as in dealing with our relations with others because I believe that the spirituality allows us to develop a higher level of consciousness, and this consciousness is going to allow us to reach patients, to reach that person, and give them, provide them some form of spiritual nourishment. People are literally dying out there, not just physically.
Exactly.
They're literally dying out there.
Exactly, and they may be very dead, so to speak, on a spiritual level long before the body begins to show that. But the body cannot survive. Just like a plant cannot survive without sunlight, the body cannot survive without hope and without positive experiences and without the mind being cultivated and creativity and all of these things that make the human nature so valuable and so rich and so so wonderful. And so that's largely what I do, is I begin to bring the awareness of the whole person to the foreground, because so many people are unaware that they have stuffed this idea in the back of their mind, or they have neglected to take care of a part of their self that's very important to them, or their relationship isn't so very valuable now, or they always had this dream to write a book or to travel to Europe, but that they're not really making plans to fulfill those dreams or those ideas in their life. And the body can sometimes really suffer because we're not giving ourselves the richness of a life experience.
So what we need to advise our listeners this evening is that we must continually seek, and we need to find a divine purpose. I know that, as you've stated, with your dealing with your own illness, your own awakening point to become an intuitive, that every person's going to arrive at a point where, you know, you've got this opportunity to choose, you know, are you going to take a pathway of joy or are you going to be miserable? You know, what are you going to do with your life that's going to bring passion to it, that's going to make your heart sing? Making choices, I feel, is the best way to deal with the world around us. But the only way we seem to be able to do it is to follow this inner map and to wake up that power, to get that realization. And often it's not clear to us. It is clear if we practice reflection, prayer, meditation. And I think this is where an intuitive would facilitate bringing that out, unblocking channels, assisting, divinely guiding someone to adapt to new ideas, to empower them, so to speak.
Exactly. Every session I do is intended to empower that person to have a happier, healthier life.
Now, Linda, tell me again, how are we going to get a hold of you, and what is your website?
Yes, my website is intuitiveacademy.com. There you will find all of the courses that I offer, sessions that I offer, workshops, and also wherever I am across the country, if I'm doing workshops or talking at some event, it will pop up on that particular website, intuitiveacademy.com. For a session or just to talk with me, just give me a call at 417-863-1377.
Now, Linda is a certified hypnotherapist. She's a practitioner, intuitive, and her own education has led her to her academy. She will provide private sessions. There's also, I noticed, a variety of workshops and speaking topics that you have as well.
Exactly. I'm traveling right now through Colorado, and we'll be in California.
I captured you out of state.
You did. I'm normally in Missouri, but I'm doing a book tour and a book signing tour and several workshops. So it's great fun to go out and meet people face-to-face. I do a lot of my work by phone. My students primarily communicate to me by email and phone. So I love getting out there and meeting people and seeing eyes and hearing voices and being able to hug and be able to really be in contact with people by doing workshops. I love what I do because it's a very wonderful, intimate thing. It's as close to the heart of the person as one can possibly be, to know them from the inside out, to know them from their own thoughts and their feelings and their spiritual self. To know them from the inside out is truly to know a person deeply.
And one of the intuitive evaluations also would, for the listeners, if you have a particular question, it doesn't need to be in the spiritual, the physical sense. It doesn't have to be an opinion of, you know, any health concerns or things of that nature, because Linda is not a diagnostician. However, what she can do is give you some fairly specific information regarding the function of your organ systems and different body parts, your energetic body, your mental, your emotional. There may you might even find that there's revealing issues about spirituality as it surrounds health concerns. I imagine that would be a health intuitive. Linda, what we are looking at with the society right now is the fact that we just don't slow down enough. We don't look at that energy of love, the joyfulness, and just having a camaraderie, a friendship, and the day-to-day. We're living in this laser lane is what I call it. It's not the fast lane, it's the laser lane. So what would you tell our listening audience over the next few minutes, you know, how to achieve this river of life? And is there any things that they can do meditatively, a little exercise or something that you can help fill them up with some universal life flow?
There's some wonderful things. I mentioned earlier the 5-minute power nap that allows your body to become calm again. Just doing that a few times a day will certainly create some relaxation and some rejuvenation of the body. Also, I think taking that 5 minutes and maybe just listening to your body. Do you have any aches or pains? Do you have any cravings for certain foods? Do you feel as if your body needs something? Beginning to listen to your body, which is very, very conscious, very aware, beginning to listen to your body and then following through and seeing if that advice is good advice, which is what I began in the beginning of learning how to do all of this. The first thing I did was ask a question, go into a relaxed state, and listen for an answer. What I found was my body had a whole lot of stuff it wanted to tell me, and eventually that turned into an entire profession where I'm now not only listening to my body, but I'm listening to others as well.
Well, this is Dr. Nancy Molina, and we just wanted to let you know that disease can be, or dis-ease can be a reaction to an imbalanced life force energy. It can be on the physical, emotional, the spiritual body, and balancing is a key. There can also be life patterns and cycles that just make us stagnated. They keep us from growing. And disease or dysfunction in the body is going to eventually manifest in a physical form. I have patients day in, day out, headaches, back pain, arthritis, even cancer patients. But they also come in, interestingly enough, with if you look at traditional Chinese medicine, the emotional body. They have anger and rage and phobias and depressions and hatred. If we're looking at those issues, we're going to look at organ systems. But
the dysfunction can manifest in the spiritual body. It can appear as a disrespect for life and nature, materialism, narrow-mindedness, not loving one another. So we simply want you to look at the concept of disease from another perspective. We want you to visualize your life energy as a fast-moving stream. We want you to let it flow to the path of least resistance. The flow of the stream has deviated from its natural path. It will become imbalanced. Remove all the large stones from the stream. Allow it to flow. The energy flow may not be a lot, but we do not want the blockage to get bigger. This is the preventative concept that Linda's talking about. Your life force energy must yield, must grow, must continue to love the universe around you. Linda, and we're dealing with a health intuitive, and we're dealing with training. Is there any training for this besides the self-awareness you went through? How many years did this take you learning and opening up and trying to get into your focus?
Well, I went for almost 4 years with just studying myself, and that was just a self-awareness journey that I had to go through. I became very, very aware of my body-mind relationship and how my emotions affected me, how foods, vitamins, minerals, exercise, hopes, dreams, fulfillment, and how my day interacted with my body, and I became very aware of the interaction that occurred there. From there, I went on to become a hypnotherapist, which gave me yet another skill to become intuitive. I'd already become very meditative in nature, developed a very focused, concentrated mind through other exercises, and kind of stumbled into becoming the health intuitive I am today. That's in my book. It's a wonderful story. A spontaneous health intuitive session came through when I was doing some other intuitive work, and I began to recognize that was my niche. But yes, there were several years of study. I have kind of streamlined that in the health intuitive course that I provide through my International Academy of Intuitive Arts, which helps people to grow and develop this state that I reached through several years, about 6 years of study. It helps them do that in around a year.
Fascinating. Now, the name of the book again?
The book is called Riding the Intuitive Wave, Learn to Listen to What Your Body Already Knows. And anyone who would like to order the book, just give me a call. It's 417-863-1377.
Do you work with clients as far as energy direction on specific organ systems, like if they have emotional, they're joyless or they can't love? Do you work on those emotions with them?
Absolutely. I not only do the intuitive sessions, but we can also do some balancing work, and that can happen on a remote state as well. You don't have to be in my presence, in other words, for that that energy to work, but helping people to gain that greater sense of balance. If you recall earlier, I talked about when I do this, I become really inseparable from that person on an energy field. So really, we're one in the same. And
We have a caller?
Yes.
Caller, are you there?
No, we've got to come off the air.
Okay. Let's go ahead and close out. Linda, thank you for coming this evening. And we just want to send out a lot of love to all the listeners. May all of the love this evening fill you with light. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.